Now, the GLF recognised three external types of oppression. Firstly, persecution, which was often violent and personally directed, such as in queer bashing. Secondly, discrimination, because of being or suspected of being gay, in housing, religion, jobs, healthcare, children, parenting issues. And then thirdly, what it called liberal tolerance, which is a slightly more surprising type of oppression, I suppose. And this is the idea that there's a kind of shallow acceptance of homosexuality, only to quietly maintain the unquestioned superiority of heterosexuality. GLF recognised a fourth type of oppression too, and this was self-oppression, what we today would call internalised homophobia. And this is the self-hatred or self-rejection that was so corrosive and also so pervasive for people growing up in a society that hated them. And because of this internalised oppression, homophobia, building alternative societies was a complex matter. And there were lots of huge debates and furious arguments about terminology, for example. Queer at that time was a word associated with shame and social rejection. So the word gay was chosen as a deliberate counterpoint to that. Many women who came out at that time chose and still choose to call themselves gay as an intentional refusal to be shamed, often finding the word lesbian tied to a kind of medical illness description from earlier in the 20th century. Later, in the mid-1970s, when the women's liberation movement was more widespread, the movement called lesbian feminism was born, which reclaimed the word lesbian, attaching it to the more politicised ideology of feminism. And this argued vociferously for gender equality and further even for separatism, for building worlds that for women, for lesbians, that lived separately from men altogether.